speech to something that you can see and you can remember afterwards. First, I will show the slide that it reflects any Palestinian woman their national dresses. So this is the national dress where over Palestine you can see it. Sometimes the colors are different. You have the black and red. You have the white and red. It depends on which area. It's the north, it's the south, the middle. This is from the north. This is area of Jerusalem. And this is Gaza, almost it is black and it has light colors like green and something like this, and very simple design. And here, this time, women in their marriage celebration, usually you can see almost women are dressing in their national dresses. And here, as you see, in different areas, there's no separation between men and women. Women are in all the activities that it is taking place in Palestine. This is Ramallah area. This is the south of Palestine, and mainly it is the Bedouin women that they are dressing like this. Also, it is the Bedouin woman near Nahab and Bir Sheva. And of course, this kind of dressing, if women are doing that, and it is all their time is spent in their time that it is in after doing the housework, after doing the agriculture work, they are doing the important. Can we light it a little bit? Okay. Okay, now I'll move to the women movement in Palestine. It is like any elsewhere in the third world has been developed both alongside and separately from a larger national movement, depending both on external circumstances and on changing in perceived priorities and needs. And especially in the early of the century, most of the national activity, it was against the Jewish immigration to Palestine at that time. So with Balfour Declaration and with the establishment after that of the Israeli movement, of the Israeli state, you can find that the national movement is mainly against the immigration of Jews and against the establishment of the state, because it was on the shoulder of the Palestinians, and Palestinians were immigrated. And that led to the first establishment of the charitable organizations in Palestine. Women were very active in establishing these charitable organizations in which they can give services to the Palestinians. It is health services, it is educational services, it's food, sometimes food services, it is dormitories for the orphan children. Later on, we can see that these organizations, after 1967, it was almost spread everywhere. But these charitable organizations, they give these services as part of their national struggle. And we can see that women, they were participating in demonstrations, in sit-ins. So here we can see women, they are in sit-ins in churches. So usually we are using some of the religious places, because you can see more people are coming there and they can be participating on these activities. it is also here there is a fasting, and it was in one of the churches, men and women, and you can see it here. I'm part of that, and one of the priests is participating in our fasting activity. This is you know, during the occupation, sometimes you fast in order that something the Israeli government can take action again towards that occasion. Here is fasting for the release of prisoners. Mothers of prisoners, they are also having their meetings and speaking about their sons, and also about martyrs in different activities. Also, this is one that is set for me. Okay. you see, from to the left, you can see Pesach Hussein. He is a very prominent leader in our community, and he is speaking to the people. And you can see that I myself here. It is being part of the political leadership and talking to, in conferences to people. So these are kind of the political activities that are taking place. Demonstrations, and you can see women, they are demonstrating also for against occupation, and they are they have their slogans toward this. Meetings, education, informing people, it is part of the work. And here you can see that in order to convince more women to participate on the national struggle, several meetings were taking place. Okay, can we have the light? Name? Okay. I'll stop here with the slides, and I'll move to the other part. In late 80s, there is a new form of organizations that happens. It is the grassroots organizations. Grassroots organization, it is a different way of work. Instead of having a building like the charitable societies and giving services to the people through this kind of organization, we go to the villages, camps, knocking from door to door, talking with the people, finding their needs, giving the supply, and establishing what they are in need. If they are in need of a kindergarten, we establish a kindergarten. If they need of a health center, then it is a health center. If it is a school, then it is a school. So it is very flexible. The work was through the grassroots organization, very flexible according to the needs of people. And that makes women organization spread all over. And we can see the impact of the grassroots organization during the Intifada. Because of all the work that has been done before, during the Intifada, women are very visible in the national struggle. They are in the streets. They are giving the services to the people, doing public education to the people, because for three continuing years, schools were closed, but alternative education was given through mainly women, and partially from teachers that they are, usually they teach, so they were preparing the alternative material for the students. Then we can see that some organization has been, six different grassroots organizations has been established at that time, and they are, until now, they are doing this work. In 1990, until 1989, women issues, they were not discussed because the national issue was taking the priority of all what of everything, of all the activities that we are doing. Social activity, social rights, they were not discussed at all. Although women grassroots organizations, on their platforms, they all the time they were talking about mixing between the national struggle and the social struggle. In 1989, we find that, okay, during the Intifada, there was a lot of imprisonment of men at that time. And women, they were taking responsibilities, high responsibilities in their political partners. But, you know, in that time, it is sometimes that somebody is imprisoned for administration detention, that it is 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, and they are released. When they are released, women are put aside, and men, the man, comes to the power. And that makes women think again, you know, why? Sometimes a man, he is 5 years in prison, when he is out, he is taking the responsibility, and the woman that she was in that position, she is put aside. Why is that happening? So, women become disgusted, yani, in spite of their political affiliation, they come together to discuss the issue, their political position, and how the social, because this is, it is a, it is a social, a part of the social struggle. It is not only political struggle. It is not the national struggle that it is against the Israeli, but it is our struggle in order to build our own society. So in that way, women came together to discuss the issues. During discussing these issues, several other social issues came out. We have the Intifada, where there is a lot of violence against the people from the Israeli army. But that is reflected again to the woman, because men, when they are subjected to violence, their object, again, it becomes the woman. So at home, you can find that lot of that there is a big increase in violence against women and children during that period. So also, women, when they come again together, they start discussing these issues. And here we can find that for the first time, there was a big, two big conferences that has been held. One in 1989, that has been initiated by a center called the ISAN Study Center, in which it discussed women and the Intifada. At that time, the main issue that was discussed, it is how women, they were forced to be veiled by the religious parties. And we find it is a political issue, because political parties at that moment, they refuses to face the religious parties in order not to force women to put veils. And we said that we are not against the veil as itself, but we are against forcing women to put veil. If it is an option for women, whether they want to put veil or not, it is their belief, it is their choice, but not to force them to do so. So it is for the first time we are discussing in public these issues. At the same time, we said that this is a kind of violence against women. Forcing them to do so, it is a violence. And also, part of the violence issues was discussed. In 1992, there was another conference that has been held by Al-Haq institution. It is a legal institution, and it was under the slogan "Women and the Law." And with women and the law, it was different issues has been discussed on that. and mainly it was touching the family law. So there is little bit of changes. With the starting of the negotiations, and here we can see that women, they were participating even in the negotiating team. There was three women that they were in the negotiating team. One of them was a spokesperson of the Palestinian, Dr. Hanan Ashrawi. And that was a very good representation at that time, because other teams, they didn't have women, all the Israelis, the Syrian, and they didn't have women as members. Later on, the Syrians have one and the Israelis have one. But in the beginning, Palestinians, from the beginning, they have three women that they were participating. But how that reflects itself on the women movement? At that time, women start thinking, okay, negotiations will be starting. This will emerge a Palestinian state. Then what kind of a state we want? Several technical committees has been established to support the negotiating team for the peace process. But women, the number of women that they were in that these technical committees, they were 6 out of 300. And so, as one for myself, being on the negotiating team, being on the steering committee of the technical committees, I asked for the establishment of a women affairs technical committee. Not to have a technical committee by itself that it discusses the women issues, but to encourage women to be part of all technical committees, and also to see that the women issues are taken into consideration within all the other technical issues. And here we can see it. This is one of the programs that the Women's Affairs Technical Committee has been doing very in the very beginning of the negotiations, that they did as a need assessment for the women's needs, and in education, in health, in legislation, and there was a discussion of all these needs and what should be done in Birzeit University. This is also part, it's part of the discussion that it is on health issues about women and the fertility rate, the mortality rate, and all these issues that they never been discussed before. Okay, women, after that, during that period, of course, we were participating in different conferences that they are held in mainly in Jordan, in Tunis, and it was, for us, it was the first time that we are in relation with any other Arab country, because during occupation, Palestinian women were isolated from other Arab countries. We didn't know what's going on in other Arab countries. So for the first time, we begin to know what's going on and where is our status as women compared with other Arab women. So it's again, and here it is not like only this, but through the, you know that at it, during the negotiation, Palestinians were, the PLO was based in Tunis. And the negotiating team, after each round, they go to Tunis to discuss the issues. So what I did, it is not, and here is perhaps it is the difference between some men and I see myself as woman. I didn't only go to Tunis to meet with Sherman Arafat and to for the briefing of what goes in the negotiation, but also to meet with the Tunisian woman. This is the Minister of Women Ministry, Family and Women Minister, the Minister of Family and Women in Tunis. And so meeting with them, they have a Ministry for Family and Women, what they are doing, what kind of issues they are tackling. So it's dealing with both issues and bringing that experience to the country again. It is with an also Algerian minister. Once we had the meeting in Algeria, so meeting with Algerian woman, it is also to know because it's all the time Palestinian women, they were asked, what after your struggle? Are you going to be as the Algerian woman to go back home? So to discuss the issue with the Algerian woman, it is very important in order not to to pass the same experience that the Algerian woman had passed. So what lessons can be learned from the Algerian experience? The preparation for Beijing conference. Princess Basma in Jordan, she was heading the NGO organizations of the Arab region. So beforehand, to go and meet and discuss the issues in Jordan, that it is, it would be discussed in the fourth conference, International Conference for Women, and to organize for this. It is in the meeting with the Princess Basma. This is the Palestinian team that went to Beijing. So Palestinians are prepared on the national level and on the international level. It is being the team that articulated all the papers that took to Beijing. If we can have the light for a little bit. Moving from here, now we find that a lot of issues come to the public. Before the establishment of the Palestinian Authority, Palestinian women start discussing first establishing some centers, like study centers, women's study centers, and establishing legal centers for to give services for women, women center for legal aid and counseling. Through that organization, there's a lot of work that has been done. First, it is the analysis of the ongoing laws. It is very important to see what kind of laws we want when we will have a state. So these laws will not come from from nothing, or they didn't have background. We have ongoing laws that it is Palestinian, it is Ottoman law, it is Jordanian law, and it is the Egyptian law, because of the all the occupations that we have as Palestinians. So these laws are implemented in addition to the Israeli orders that has been put. So the Palestinians will come and see the laws, they will play with them and take what they want. So we want to say what we want from these laws. So analysis of the ongoing law from women perspectives were done. Second, there was about law and equality, how we see it, the law in relation to equality as women. Third, it is what kind of principles we want to see in the laws in order to guarantee the future of women and not to have any kind of experience that discriminated women. This is, I think it is, from the beginning also we discussed the constitution, the draft of the constitution, because after all we'll have a constitution, we'll have a basic law, and we found that this basic law in the beginning, it doesn't have any sign of equality, it does not mention equality. So we discussed that from the beginning and we have big meetings for this. So the second draft, it comes better. And we discuss it again. And the third draft, it is now good, because if that is not, the base is not good, then all the bylaws will come accordingly, discriminating against women. If it is good, then you'll have the gender equality, it is everywhere. So laws, we are paying a lot of attention to the laws. The other thing, it is different activities that are taking place through training, through meetings, conferences, in order to discuss all the issues that we are finding, or in order to bring women to the decision making. With the election that happens in Palestine, it was the first time that Palestinian women have the right to vote and to run for election. The first time they vote, it was on 67 for the municipal election. And they didn't have the right to run for election. But in 1996, women had the right to vote and to run for election. One woman ran for the president's chair, and we know that, and she knows that she will not win that chair. But it was a very important sign that women can run for the president position. 26 women ran for the Palestinian Legislative Council. 5 of them had won, and now we have 5 women out of 88 members. We have 2 ministers out of 24, and there is 26 women that they are on position as general directors. Out of 234 persons. So women are coming to be visible in the society. Still a lot to be done, and we're moving now to different activities that's done now, and to move to the peace activities that how women who are active on the national level, how they are active on the peace activities. Here you see, after the Palestinian National Authority came into power, and there was an agreement between Israel and the Palestinian Authority to release prisoners, and this was delayed. So women were demonstrating side by side with men in order to release, to implement the agreement and release the prisoners. And here it is also men and women that they are struggling together. It is an activity that it is for Jerusalem, and it's, as you see, here is a Palestinian woman with Israeli woman working together on the project of sharing Jerusalem. It is one of the projects that the Jerusalem Link has initiated in order to, and it is for the first time the issue of Jerusalem has been discussed in a very language, saying that there is not only one option for Jerusalem, it is the United Capital of Israel. It is, there can be other options, and one of them, it is sharing Jerusalem. Jerusalem can be as a capital for two states. it is this is a demonstration on which women were speaking of for their rights, and it is after the Palestinian Authority is in power, we are saying that we want to see women in decision-making positions. Here it is now the Palestinian activists side by side with Israeli activists. Here we have Latif Duri, one of the active persons in peace now, and as you see myself with Dr. Hanan Ashrawi and Faisal Husseini in one of the conferences that it is for peace. The Palestinian team, when we were in one of the going for one of the rounds, here it is a joint demonstration. Palestinian and Israeli women, they are struggling together for peace. A third person was very needed to facilitate better the dialogue between Palestinians and Israelis. And in 1989, Simone Suskens, who's on the right side, she was, she's a Belgian Jew, and initiated a conference in Brussels, in which it was the basis ground, a basic ground for the Jerusalem League, on which Palestinian and Israeli women agreed on 7 points. It was much before the negotiations, but later on, 5 years later on, Palestinians and Israelis came to agree on the 7 points that women has been talking about in 1989. And the other one is Palestinian, Leila Shakir. She is our ambassador in France. This is one of the rallies that the woman had did after 89. It was, I think it is either 90 or 91, on which we had a rally in Jerusalem, and we have the 7 points that we agreed upon, and we asked several people to come and sign publicly on these 7 points. And here you can see Dr. Hanan Ashrawi, and you see Shulamit Aloni. As I said, when Sherman Arafat came, women, they were start discussing the legal issue. And so a team of women from the Women's Affair Technical Committee, they went to meet with Sherman Arafat and discuss the issue and discuss the establishment of a women affairs ministry. Of course, it's not, until now it's not established, but I can see that in 14 different ministries, there are general directors for either women affairs or gender departments. Different training has been taking place for women in management, in administration, because one of the issues that we find that usually women, they go and study and they have their PhD and they come back to the country and they go on teaching. And they, because they didn't have administration, they didn't have management skills, they didn't go to positions, even the dean of university, they are not there. They continue to be teachers. So different training courses were given to these women through the Women's Affairs Technical Committee, and bringing some people that they have the experience from outside the country, or sometimes from inside the country, and they are trained. And mainly the training is for women that are appointed in several positions in order to build their skills and not to say that women, they are not fit for these positions. Because we learn that if a man is he is not good in his position, it is his problem. It's not the man's problem. But if woman is not good in their position, it is the problem of women. They are not fit for such positions. So we should be able to build the skills of women in order to be good in their position and competing on these positions. We are putting a lot of concentration for the young leadership. Those student, university students, and here it is a kind of training on democracy. And we say the slogan is democracy minus woman is there's no democracy. And so they are discussing the issue why it's democracy minus woman is not democracy. Same discussion, as you see, most of them, they are young. And not only that we are discussing the issue inside, but also bringing the other experience. This one is Dr. Farida Bannani. She is a person, a Morocco person, lawyer, teaching in your professor in Ribat University, and she is a very professional also in religion. So, because our laws are coming from a religion background, we want to know from a person that she has a background of the law, and she has a background of religion, and she is a progressive woman, bringing her to our country and discussing all these laws and how we can make our issue clear to the leadership. Demonstrating with all our slogans, equal pay for equal kind of work, for the democracy, for women in decision making, for raising up the age of marriage, because according to the law, women can marry on the age of 16, and people sometimes they are going around it and making it like 15. It's a call in front of a in front of the Legislative Council, calling that it says to the legislative members, we are waiting for your participation in implementing equality for women. And on the same time, we have a slogan which says, yeah, yes for peace. To raise our issues more and to make ourselves visible in the society, we are renting the advertisement that have been used for the cigarettes or for the cars or for something like this. And here you can see that it is hanged over there is one of our slogans. These are all the type of slogans that we have, which discuss fertility, it discuss for both participation of women in decision making, for the rights of women, and for the elimination of discrimination against women, for family planning, and so on. It is also we have some stickers that we put them everywhere in any place on the walls, and it is easy to be sticked on the walls with all our slogans. That women in election, we are in need of more women in election. Elect women, they can give better choices. We have the experience, practice the experience of men. Let us practice the experience of women. Women's rights are human rights. We struggle together for the international struggle. We want to struggle together for the social change. And light. So here where women are, I can say that after that we win some of our battles. First of all, before women cannot issue their passports by themselves, we have to have our man who is responsible on us. He might be our son or our young brother, but he is the man. If the husband dead, the son becomes your
guardian.
Yeah, and the one who is taking care of you. And it is a battle, and for the first time we are we win that. But sometimes there is a law now to have women can't issue their passports by themselves. But the orders sometimes, because of some people that they used to ask for the man, they said, okay, bring your father, your brother, your son, or something like this. So we have to follow that the law is now implemented.